We're teaching in the book of Galatians. Galatians is an interesting letter because there isn't really much of a like other letters that Paul's written where he really commends the people and does things. Galatians it wasn't a city, it was a region of a number of churches. And we found one of the things is dealing with is the Apostle Paul. I've often thought about Apostle Paul's ministry because it continued out through his entire ministry. The Jews would follow him around, and he would go preach the grace, and they would follow around behind him and try to get people to follow the law. And they would do that. They would have groups just follow him wherever he went. And he would always be having trouble because of Jews who were preaching that, yes, you know, we need to accept Jesus Christ, but the fact that you have to be circumcised, which was the males had to be circumcised under the law, and they said they were telling them the same thing, that they must be circumcised. And the Apostle Paul is dealing with them because you adding to salvation, what the church world today, and really there is a lot out here going on in the church world today that is not Christianity. And there's many people who have come to a place of what they call faith, but is not faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in what men say the gospel is. And we have a lot of things preached from people's standpoint, and really it's man's, it's not according to the Bible. And one of the things here is a great danger these people are falling into is the fact of believing that you need something other than faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Is one of the things that's a very dangerous thing, and that's what's happened here. I mean, we have groups today that believe different things, you know, you come along, you accept Christ, and yes, but if you're not water baptized, then you're not saved. Well, either salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ, or salvation, you can only be saved through water baptism. I'm sorry. That's a very dangerous thing for an individual to believe, because personally, I don't think you can believe that and be saved. I don't see how you could, because you don't believe in faith in Jesus Christ. You believe in faith and Jesus Christ and something else. So your faith isn't really in salvation. Always understand this about works, because it isn't a matter. See, the religion always ties works to your salvation from this standpoint. To be saved, you have to do this. To be saved, you have to do that. And what it does is it doesn't make salvation by faith alone. It doesn't just put it by faith. It will add something to it that you have to perform, either to prove you're worthy or whatever else it is. We do works just because we as number one, if you have a changed life, your life should be changed. I mean, if you had a changed life, it's like with myself. When I got born again, I changed. In fact, the changes in me were so different that Wanda said, you know, when I came home one night from work, I was on second shift, I came home and Wanda told me she had accepted Christ. And I asked her why she did, because the Lord had told me, don't you witness to her, said she don't trust you and you just leave it alone. And so I came home from work and I just started following Christ. My life really changed. Like people, the night I got saved, I didn't notice any big change. Like people said, oh, this big weight lifted off me or something. Maybe somebody felt that. I didn't. I got saved, but I found out things about my life. I mean, just changed. Sometimes I would just stop and think, wow, what's going on with me? I mean, I'm just thinking completely different and I'm acting different. Situations are happening. And when Wanda said to me, I asked her, well, why did you accept Christ? And she said, I've been watching you. And she said, I'm not living with the same man anymore. She said, I thought you were just going through another stage of your life and one crazy thing that you were doing. She said, you're not the same guy. She said, you're different. And it was. And see, I don't understand salvation in people who just go on the same old way they always did. I don't understand. I have no comprehension. When a person comes and they try to explain that stuff, I don't even know what they're talking about. You know, Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. That's all I know. I had what the Bible said. There's one thing is you're going to experience in salvation what the Bible says. In fact, Kenneth E. Hagin, Jesus, in one of the appearances where Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin, if you go look at any of Kenneth Hagin, now not his son, but Kenneth Hagin, in the back of every one of his books, he had a a prayer in that book for salvation, a thing to go through, confession prayer. That prayer came directly from Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said this to him. He said, many people are praying prayers and they're not getting saved. He said, they're not saved. He said, because they're not believing the truth. He said, what they're praying is not what the Bible says they're supposed to believe or what they're supposed to. And he said that many people, that all they do is they join in a religion. They think they're all right and they're not. And he said, now, he gave Kenneth Hagin this prayer and he said, if the person believes what that prayer says, they believe it in their heart and they confess that, he said, they will get saved every time. And so that's why Brother Hagin put that in the book and that stuff. And in fact, their ministry, if like sometimes at big meetings, you didn't just have time to lead, you know, people to salvation because there'd be so many people and so much people getting saved and people healed and stuff. So they would send them over to a room. Well, what they would do with them there, they would take them through the scriptures that had to do with that prayer. And then they would lead the people through that prayer to be born again. Because that's what the Lord told him about. And so, in other words, the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it's preached, it must have certain things in it for people to believe. And if it is not, it is not the gospel. And I want to tell you what, there are millions of people who are not born again who think they're a child of God. Because the religion has come and preached certain things to them, what you do to be saved, and it's not true. It's not gospel. It doesn't tell you really what. They're not even believing the right things, you know. I had an incident with a gentleman, I was ministering. They had these things in the summertime. They'd have this big thing where they'd have, you know, about 3 or 4 days of a whole bunch of speakers and bands and all kinds of stuff, that stuff. And so I was working in what they called a prayer tent. But what you did is people sometimes come in and have questions about things, or people have problems, and maybe you do a little bit of counseling to them, but, you know, maybe pray with people. And a guy come walking into me, and he was 45 years old. In fact, he lived, I think he lived in Frystown, I think is where he was from. And he went to a Lutheran church, and he attended this thing. And he had really a hunger about things for God, but he was there, and they had a group singing and stuff, and that thing. And anyhow, they did an altar call and asked him to come down. And so he came over to the tent, and he came in and talked with him. And I told him to come in, and I sat down with him. And he said, I asked him what, you know, he needed to talk about, if he needed prayer, whatever it was he wanted to do. So he said to me, I was just out here, he said, in this meeting out here, and he said they had these people, and they were, you know, singing stuff. They asked people to come out, and he said they came down and said, you know, asked people if they wanted to know Jesus Christ. Yeah, and they said, come out. He said, they just told us we're supposed to ask Jesus into our hearts. Now, actually, that's not gospel. That's not gospel. That's not the God. You don't find it in Scripture where it tells you to ask Jesus into your heart. It's not in the Bible. Those words aren't. And he said, the guy looked at me and he said, if anything happened to me, he said, I don't know it. See, number one, they asked people to come down, except number one, they gave them no scripture. They gave no place of faith. They had no place of faith at all. Not a scripture was used. There's no place of faith. You accept Jesus Christ by faith. Faith in what the Word of God says. The Word of God was never even used, never even spoken. So I said to him, I said, well, come here, sit down. I said, let's do this. I said, so I took him through scriptures and what the scripture said that you had to be saved. What the scripture said. So I went through and took the scripture to him, and I talked to him. I had him read the scripture. I'd read the scripture to him, then I'd have him read it. So you see, it's in the Bible. This is what the Bible says. Yeah, I said, I see that. Yeah. So I said, tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer, but I said, I want you just to say this prayer, but I said, this prayer is going to be in line with what we read. So I just prayed and said, you know, started beginning to say, you know, concerning what to believe and all that kind of stuff. And he followed through with that. And we were done. I looked at him. I said, let me ask you something. Are you saved? He said, of course, we did what the Bible said. A whole difference. See, he knew in his heart. Those Christians didn't even know. See, they have blinded themselves so much by following religious traditions that they didn't even know it. Their hearts were turned off to even know that it wasn't even working. It didn't even, and had completely blinded them. They thought they were doing something wonderful. One of the worst things is to lead somebody into something that is not true and have them believe it's true. And once they do that, you may never be able to get them to change again. The hardest people to reach are religious people. They're the hardest to reach. And once you seat somebody in religion, it is hard to bring the truth to them. They're the worst. The easiest people to get across to are people that don't have much belief in anything. They're the easiest to get across to. They aren't deep-seated in a whole bunch of... But people get deep-seated into things. And you don't want to put somebody into something false. Because they'll turn around and may never even trying to get them out of that thing. You know, I know like over the years, and I'm just not knocking from the standpoint of Catholics, but I know from Catholicism standpoint, I've talked to Catholics already. They're drilled into the fact, and you know, what all they go through, and especially if you're the ones, you know, follow through the catechism and really stay close to it. Those people are very hard to reach because they have been ingrained with them that because they're a Catholic and they're following the Catholic tradition, they're going to heaven. And they're lost. They're lost as crazy. And I've had people trying to talk to them. That's hard to deal with because it's been ingrained to them that what they're doing is the truth. So it's very hard for them because they have a lot of things that, you know, are even some things that are scriptural, but even if it's not, they're ingrained in that fact. So it gets very difficult. And this is why with dealing with faith, I think that people have a lot of problems with faith because it is a thing that is so simplistic that most people can hardly believe that you couldn't have to add something else to it, that God would save you. Remember that you're never saved by works, never. And we're dealing with this because works can never save you. Now, works are good to have. In fact, God rewards people because of works. But he cannot save people on the basis of works. You can never, as one thing as I learned as a young Christian, and I saw many older Christians and even people like ministry, people in ministry today, big ministries. I watched them do things that they try to impress God by their works. And they're trying to, when you want something from God, rather than approaching a God by faith, they'll try to approach him by works. I remember the big name, one of the biggest names we got in the faith ministry and finances on the financial ministries on TV and all the time and stuff. But I remember the guy sitting there talking and he said about, you write down, like say you're giving, write down all your giving and that kind of stuff. Then you take it before God and you tell him and you talk. And he was talking that stuff. I thought, man, you might as well slap Jesus in the face. You don't approach, number one, I don't get from God by my giving. I get from God by my faith. I give because I'm a person of faith. That's why I give. I don't give because I have to give to get God to like me or do something for me. I got God changed my life. I'm a different person. It's my nature to give. Love's my nature. The love of God was set upon my heart by the Holy Ghost. My nature is to give. That's my nature. And so I'm not trying to give God just to get him to give me something. You know, it's like the scripture says in Ephesians, in Ephesians says in the first chapter, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. In other words, I'm already blessed with every blessing. So why would I be trying to show God all the good things that I did to try to get him to bless me? That's against the scriptures. And you know, there's a lot of people, they say they're teaching faith and about giving by faith, and they are not. Loads of them are not. It's works. It's one of the things, if I can get you to start to trust me on the basis of works, I can get in your wallet easy. I've learned that watching these ministers. I could get in your pocket really easy. If I can get you to start, and I start preaching works to you, and start getting over with the message of how you have to give like they do and what you do, you know, every time you want something, boy, you got to get your wallet out. You gotta give me a check and then God will do something for you. And you start doing those things and loads of them, that's what they do. And they're just operating over an area of works. They're not operating in the area of faith. I was at a ministerial meeting, quite a large number of ministers there, and the speaker who got up and spoke, in fact, his Bob Yandian was his name, and Bob Yandian was really did a lot of teaching on the areas of grace. He had been one of the deans of Rhema, first dean. I think he might have been the first dean at Rhema. and Bob Yandian was. But anyhow, Bob got up and spoke, and when he went and said, he said, I don't get money from God on my giving. I get money from God by faith. Well, you should have heard the silence in the place. That was new to almost all those ministers sitting there. They never heard that statement. I'm sure many of them were skeptical of the statement, because all of them were trying to operate through works to get. No, we give because that's my nature. The whole thing is when people start getting over there, and this is what we're dealing with, this is when people start taking works and they start bringing it over in and start measuring salvation by that, that becomes very dangerous. And you got to watch what you receive and believe from people, because it starts affecting your faith. It's just like with these people, their faith for salvation now is being put on the line because somebody is telling them, well, you're not really fully saved. You're not fully saved. You got to watch that, because somebody comes along. I've watched people do that and do those kinds of things. I had worked with a lady who, she was their church believes, like with water baptism, that you are not saved till you're water baptized. She believes that you're not saved, so they believe that completely. And I said, so you're not saved, and you have to be water baptized to be saved, is number one. They take scriptures. You see, there's actually not a whole lot of scripture that talks about water baptism, actually, in the New Testament. It doesn't talk about it. Lots of times the word baptism is talking about being baptized into Christ. That's what happens when you get, by faith, accept Jesus. You're baptized into the body of Christ. It's not talking about water baptism. But people who over in those areas, they take everything really from a physical standpoint. And so I said to the lady, I said, let me ask you something. So I said, so your church does not believe in deathbed conversions? Oh, yes, yes. And I said, now let me ask you a question. I've got to ask you, because this one thing, you have to know from a standpoint scripturally, most people never really check the Bible out. Never check the Bible. I'm really meticulous about that. Because I followed after Brother Hagin. Is because, so I said to her, I said, now let me ask you this. So the Bible specifically teaches you believe you must be water baptized. And I said, now I ask you this question about this individual on a deathbed who didn't get water baptized, but you'd believe they go to heaven. I said, so you believe that? I said, how do they get to heaven? She said, well, God understands their situation. I said, hold it. You can't have any basis for that. I said, tell me, show me in the scripture where it says they don't have to be baptized. I said, that's the only way you could say God knows. Because you could have no faith to believe that, not from biblical. You can have a biblical speck of faith unless scripture tells you that that can happen. Well, she said, well, I don't know what the scripture tells you. And I said, you ask your minister. Well, she never did get back with me about it. I asked her some other times. And, well, I don't know. I said, well, and I just say to her, well, then you can't have faith for that. You need to understand. You can't, you don't even know. And I said, I want you to understand, it's not in the Bible. You can't find a scripture for it. And I said, because of your belief, you could not find a scripture that would actually say that person could be saved. Now, I believe, you know, thank God, we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? Because you're going to find in this entire letter, Paul's talking about these people, salvation, and never talks about water baptism at all. So anybody tells me that water baptism, I said, read Galatians. Ask if Paul wrote the book, the letter to the Galatians. Did he write that? Yes. Did he mention water baptism at all to be saved? Did he mention it all? Well, he couldn't, because it wouldn't have been any different than saying you had to be circumcised. He could not mention it because he is making the point, salvation is by faith in Christ alone. Water baptism is this. It is an outward sign of what something happened to you. In fact, in our culture, we don't put as much on it, and it doesn't mean as much to people, because our culture doesn't put as much on it. It means more in other cultures, especially, you know, you get other religions and that type of thing. Like Hinduism, if a person gets born again and then gets baptized by, you know, into Christ, it gets saved and then is water baptized, that's a huge thing for them to get water baptized, because that is a testimony. When you got baptized, that means that's what you're following. To us, that doesn't mean that in America. I know people water baptized and they ain't even close to following Christ. So it doesn't really, in our culture, it's a big thing. In fact, persecution will come to that, to the Jewish religion. Somebody gets born, a Jew gets born again, and he gets baptized, water baptized. That is, they're making an outward statement that that's who they're following. Boy, they get persecuted by the Jews, the other Jews. You know, it's an interesting thing. Jews can get hooked up in any other kind of religion, and they don't get persecuted by the Jews. Only Christianity. If you hook up with Christianity, it's the only one. It's the only one. They don't like that. In fact, most of the cults, any cults we have in America, the majority of them have been started by Jewish people. They've been started by Jewish people. And so it's really interesting when you get over into there. And really, it's the whole thing toward Christ. It deals with Christ. So the letter to Galatians, Paul is dealing with this fact because there are these ones who have come along, and Paul's dealing with this gospel, and Paul's being persecuted over this thing. Paul told us in Galatians in the first chapter in verse 8, the apostle Paul made this statement. He said, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. We talked about that word. The Greek word there is the anathemia. And that word is a sacrificial word which is used. It's an animal to be slain as a sacrifice devoted to destruction. Because of its association with sin, the word has an evil connotation and was synonymous with a curse. In the sacrificial scheme, anathema meant alienated from God without the hope of being redeemed. Paul was so adamant about salvation by faith alone that he said anybody would come along and preach. He said, even if I come back and tell you something else about the gospel, don't you listen to me. He said, I ought to be a curse, separated from God without the ability to be redeemed. This is how adamant Paul is about salvation by faith. Salvation is never by works. Works will never keep you saved. They don't keep you safe. And that doesn't mean we don't do good works. That don't mean it's all right to lie, cheat, steal. It's all right to go out and, you know, have sex with anybody you want, do whatever you want. It doesn't mean that at all. See, a lot of people think that, you know, when a person sins, when I was a kid in church, there were people who believed, I don't know if denominationally they believed it or not, but, you know, they almost had the idea that if you were a Christian and you sinned, you had to get saved again. It was almost that idea. That you had to go, you know, it wasn't a matter of you sin and you confess your sin, he's faithful. They acted like you weren't a Christian no more, that, you know, you made a mistake, so you were going to hell. Say, dear Lord, heaven's going to be about seven people. It's going to be pretty lonely. I don't know if I want to go. I don't know who that crowd is on the sea of glass. But according, see, you have all these crazy doctrines. And that's the whole thing. There is a mess. That's taught out here. There's a mess taught out here. And it's not out of the Bible. People have jumbled all kinds of things together. Kenneth Hagin said, and I found out it's true, you can make the Bible say anything you want if you want to. You can twist it around. And that's why, you know, Brother Hagin was always by two or three scriptures, let every word be established. Brother Hagin definitely believed, and I believe it's correct, and I've looked at it over the years. If you only have one scripture on a thing, it's definitely not a Bible doctrine. It's not a doctrine of the Bible. You can't take one scripture and found a doctrine on it. You can't do that. All doctrine in the Bible, you'll find it throughout the entire Bible. All the doctrines. It's like, you know, I can go from the book of Genesis the whole way through, and you can find all these principles that have been founded in scripture the whole way through from Old Testament to New Testament. They're there. And so they're doctrine. And so we need to be very careful what becomes doctrine and people make doctrinal and that stuff because, you know, there's certain kind of things. There's many things in scriptures that is not specifically clear. And so, you know, I don't try to preach the not clear. What's the point of it? Nothing other than to confuse people and to get people off into something. If it isn't clear, let alone go do something else. Go do something that's clear that we know that we can walk in and do. And if God wants to do something else with it, He can. But I don't do it because there are some things that are just not completely clear in Scripture. They give you, you know, so much of an idea of something. But those things are not foundational things that are going to make a difference in your walk with God. So many people waste their time on those things. You know, people waste their time. I mean, over the years I've had people, where did Cain get his wife? I said, I don't know. I didn't marry her. I don't know her relatives. And I said, I don't care. I said, I ain't going to wait because that is a waste of time. Anybody wastes, and that's what the devil does, gets people to waste time. And then Christians try to go through and answer and study to find out things. And I said, You're wasting your time. That's the devil's way of getting people over on the insignificant, to make it significant so you can quit believing in the rest of the Bible. Don't go there, okay? God never told me, and I never asked him. I never really cared. I was just glad I wasn't married to that guy. I tell you, I wasn't in his clan, thank the Lord. Praise God. Well, the Apostle Paul went on in there in verse 9 where he said, as we have said before, in other words, he's stating this again, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. That's a powerful statement, the fact that he said that two times in a row. Anything that is said in Scripture, when it's the point is made more than one time, take it as very significant. I mean, learn to do that. It's amazing when you go through Scripture. I know sometimes in topics that I look through and study over time, I'm totally shocked of how many times certain things are mentioned in Scripture. And yet we'll have things over here that's mentioned once and twice, and the church talks about it all the time. And I think, we have stuff that the Bible has emphasized over and over and over again, and the church is silent on it. It's amazing. I've always, if something's said often in the Bible, I'm going to stay around that stuff because I want to know what it is about it that they would say that so often, or they would speak it so often. I want to know about that. So that's a thing to do. So we finished with verse 10 the last time. It says, for do I now persuade men or God? He asked the question. Or do I seek to please men? He asked the question. For he said, if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And we talked about a bondservant is a bondservant, is not a servant. In other words, you know, I remember sort of as a kid talking in church, they more or less talked about us sort of like being a slave to Christ. That's not what it is. It's bondservant to Christ. It's by choice. Salvation is, God pushes nobody into salvation. It's a choice he gives us. He brings the gospel to us and we have the opportunity to accept the gospel or not. And see, that's the wonder of it. It's not based by works or our performance. It's no pressure on it. You don't have to. The whole point of the gospel is to reveal to man your need. You need the Savior, and this is what Jesus, the Savior, did for you, and to bring that to you, and you have the opportunity to accept it. And bondservant is something that we become by choice, and that's what it was under the Jewish culture. In fact, if you go back and read under the law, a person could become a bondservant. We talked about it last week. If a man was sometimes a person was, like, say, owed a debt or something or other, and they were taken, they had to go work for somebody to work their debt off. And if that individual liked working for that person and decided he wanted to stay with that individual, he could do that. He could become a bondservant. A bondservant was somebody who was served by choice, who served by choice. In fact, we have a number of times in Scripture where it seems that bondservants were very valuable to the individuals, you know, that, and in fact, they were very, the person who they were bondservant to were always usually very good to those people and took care of them. And, but what they would do is they would come and say they wanted to be a bondservant. Then what the Bible says they were supposed to do, they were supposed to take the person, they'd take their earlobe, put it on the doorpost to the entrance of the home, and they would take a U and punch a hole in it, their ear, and then put an earring in, and that person, by choice, became a bondservant. And I want you to understand this. We determine, and most Christians don't see themselves as a bondservant. They see themselves as a slave to Jesus Christ. That's all I ever understood when I got saved. God was running the show, and he's pushing people around all the time and doing whatever he wanted with people. That's not what it is. Because that's what the Bible says, we're workers together with him. I chose to work for him. That was a choice I made. I didn't have to. I chose to. He's not a slave master. He doesn't do that. That's not what Jesus Christ does. He may be Lord, but he's not a slave master. He does not force people to serve him. People who go to hell don't go to hell because of Jesus Christ. They go to hell because they choose not to go to be with Jesus Christ. They choose not to be his servant. They choose to serve sin, so they go with the master of sin. Jesus don't send people to hell. People go there by their own choice. They choose not to follow Jesus, so they end up there. And so he's not pushing people around. And the simplest thing is just you serve him by faith. It's just a thing of faith. It is so simple. It's trying to get that across to people. We just receive him by faith that he alone can save. You know, Paul in his simplicity in writing in Romans told us what we were supposed to believe, that Jesus was Lord, and we're supposed to confess with our mouth that God raised him from the dead. How many times you hear people leading people to salvation and tell people to do that? Almost never. You watch the stuff on TV, they almost never. They never follow the Bible, and then they call themselves word people. You're not a word person because you call yourself a word person or you go to a church, they call it. You're a word person because you follow the word. That's what you are. Hallelujah. So it's a very simple thing. You need to believe that Jesus is Lord. Now, understand, do you know what it means to be Lord? See, we don't use that term in our English. Lord means he's in charge. In other words, he's the ruler, he's in charge. So in other words, we recognize him as one who is in charge. So in other words, if he is my Lord, and I'm confessing his, in other words, I put him in charge of me. I said he's allowed to. He's allowed to be my Lord. So in other words, I believe that Jesus is Lord. Now there's a day coming. Now Jesus right now, his lordship is not enforced on everybody. But there will be a day coming that it will. His lordship is going to be 100% enforced. That's why join his group now. You don't want to wait till the day that it goes into force, because when it's into force, it's not going to be good. See, it's one of the things the Bible tells us about, even dealing with the during the millennial reign of Christ. The millennial reign, it says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Everybody thinks the millennial reign thing is just going to be this little cute thing that runs, and everybody's going to be, you know, with ukuleles and sitting in grass playing ukuleles and singing. And it says, why would, you know, I used to ask ministers that. They'd say, oh boy, you know, it's going to be so glorious. And I used to say to them, well, then why does Jesus have to rule with a wrought iron? Why does it say that if people don't come up to Jerusalem, if they don't come up to Jerusalem, to the king, that their land, there's not going to rain or fall on their land? I thought it's all going to be roses and it's all going to be, everything's going to be wonderful. I said, even though the devil is not going to be out running around tempting people, he's going to be bound in chains, people can still make choices of their own. Everything that people do, now understand this, sometimes the devil influences people to do things, but there's a lot of people doing a lot of things that ain't the devil, it's them. They choose to do evil. They want to do it. They choose to do things wrong. But we're going to get teaching on end times, so I won't go into that a whole lot about that. But it's the fact that we understand things about our salvation and preaching a gospel. Now, in verse 11, Paul says, "But I made known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, understand this. One of the things that we find, if you follow the book of Acts and you follow Paul's ministry, his gospel wasn't, Paul's salvation was, it was a bit unique. It was different. It's just sort of like, I have often thought about, you know, sometimes God did things with certain people, and it was for the body of Christ's sake, sometimes for revelation's sake. It's just like with Kenneth Hagin's life. Now, actually, Kenneth Hagin died at birth. He was stillborn. In fact, he was dead for about an hour. Came back to life. He came back to life. It wasn't because the doctor. The doctor told his grandmother to bury him in the garden and that stuff. And that's what they did in those days, you know, back then. And told him to go bury him. He was dead. And he was lifeless, and he came back from the dead. But his mom had a vision and seen Jesus, and Jesus told her that the child would live. But his mother almost died in the childbirth and everything, and because there was a lot of complications, a lot of things happened. But there was a lot of things with Kenneth Hagin that was really over the areas of miraculous. Even as a young boy, when he did get saved, with his dying, he went to hell three times. And on his third time coming back from hell is when he actually got saved. And he actually got born again. But it was, which people need to understand, he's a 15-year-old boy and he was going to hell. See, a lot of people, they look at their kids and they don't realize. They don't realize that they're kids. And they put no things of emphasis on their kids to salvation. But, you know, kids come to the knowledge of sin, come at different ages. I came at a very young age of understanding the knowledge of sin. Before I was ever 15 years old. If I would have died, Ed would have went to hell. I came to the knowledge of sin. I wasn't born again. And I'll never forget it happened because as a real little kid, I really had a lot of light toward God. In fact, my mom even said, she said, when you were a little kid, she said, you were really different than our other kids. There was 9 of us. And I said, yeah, I was a lot nicer than the rest of those rats. I knew. No, she said, you always act like you knew Jesus personally. And see, to me, those things were real. What happened to me is as I got older and in the church, religion stole everything out of me. Religion ripped everything out of me. All the life that I had working in me as a child, they ripped it out by their religious. See, and you got to watch this. One thing, see, my kids grew up liking God. They thought God was on their side. They thought God, that's the way they were raised. I didn't rip the stuff out of them. And they thought God was great. And that is one of the things, is religion will rip the life right out of you. And that's what, for 30 years, I walked in darkness. And you know what? When I got born again, the call of God that was in me as a child that I knew immediately came back to me. All that religion had ripped out of me, I got born again, it was as if it was all right there again. See, and that's where it's one of the things is we need as Christians to really understand. That's why when you start making salvation by works and all these kind of things, people think they're doing things good, trying to make people so-called toe the line. I learned this a long time ago. You can't make nobody toe the line. I can preach the truth. I can warn people of things. That's fine. You can warn people you're in trouble, and if they keep going in a direction, you can warn. But you can't make people do anything. And the idea is if you start getting religious, trying to control a person to make them do whatever they want to do, rot's a ruck. That don't work. You can't make people do what they want to do. You know. You're not a good control of my kids when they were little, but they're older now, and that's all gone. That's gone. And I knew it was gone. My girls got married, I told them. I said, I'm not sure. I have nothing to do with your head anymore. I said, your head's who you married. And that's who you go to if you got things going on. They're supposed to be leading the thing. I said, they're supposed to be the spiritual. So I said, you're marrying them, and if you don't see them as the spiritual head as you have, I said, that's your problem now, not mine. But I said, it's going to affect your life. You need to understand that. You can affect your life. I said, I can help you some, but I said, I can't dominate over your husband. I can't do that. And I said, that's something you're going to have to deal with. Because daddy can't, there's certain things I could do spiritually for them that I can't do no more because I'm not their head. I'm not their head. So I can't do it for them anymore. And so people need to know that. Most of the church has no clue. They don't know a thing about it. And they just keep... And that's why people get worn out. That's how religions get made. How we want to control everything when we can't. That's the worst thing to do. That's the worst thing is trying to control what you can't. Because that's what wears everybody out. And I know people some over the years, and people have thought, you know, he's a hard guy because he won't. No, I just learned what you can't control, and I won't play with people who want to control and want me to jump in and play their game. We ain't going there. I know what I can do and what I can't. And that's, when you know that, it takes a lot of worry out of life. A lot of worry out of life. But religion will always try to keep you over in the areas of some kind of control. And the idea of you're trying to control. You're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that. But we have here, Paul got a revelation from God. You need to understand this is one of the important things. I can preach and bring revelation of the word to you, but it's between you and God making that your revelation. See, is having a revelation from God is number one. This is one of the things that I found this out. To me, it was the easiest thing when I got saved. I never felt I needed a class to preach to people. I never needed a class to witness to somebody. I never needed somebody to tell me how to do it. I knew that I would read the Bible and I'd believe it was true. When something was revealed to me, I would just take it as it was true, and then I'd just go do it. You know, that I didn't have to have somebody persuade me, and well, we got to sit through 27 more classes to find out if this works. Do you know, I was only a born again Christian for a couple months when I started walking in divine health. I went for years hardly finding anything ever happening or doing anything. All these people that I can never understand. All these people they're trying for years to learn how to walk in divine health. You can do that in 15 minutes. If you believe what the Bible says, You don't have to go through all this stuff. I don't understand. But the whole point of it is most people have all these religious ideas, and they hold and cling to them. They love them. And they cling to those ideas, and they cling to their little theories. They cling to them. And it just comes down to this. It's just like accepting Jesus Christ. It's faith in the Word and nothing else. When you add to it, then I got to do this right and do that and then do this and do... One thing is I learned, if I had to do everything right to get anything from God, I would never get anything, and you would never get anything from God. You couldn't even get saved if you had to do everything right. Nobody's going to do everything right. I'm perfect before God based upon my faith, not upon my performance. Thank God. Now, that doesn't mean we go out here and we can live any old way we want. That'd be stupid. Now, see anybody, because the Bible does say we're going to reap what we sow. But no, it's number one, you don't know everything. Did you ever notice that? If you think you do, well, like Brother Hagin, we'll have an altar call for liars and get you saved. That's what he used to say. No, but we don't know it. And, I've thought about, in this week I was thinking about the fact of things that I know in the Scriptures, and I'm thinking, the things that God has taught me, and especially about the last 5 years, the thing God's dealt with. I think, I sit down and look at it and think, all that I know, but this is all just in part. Because He keeps adding to it. When I think I got a really good thing, and it's like, I always find out that ain't the end of this thing. There's more to it. So you're always learning more to it. It's one thing, it's just in a natural education standpoint. It would be ridiculous for, say, naturally going to school and they measuring you against what you haven't been taught yet. Everybody quit school. Nobody ever go to school because everybody think they're a failure. Christians are that way. Because, see, what they're talking is because of false teaching that God is measuring you against Him. God measured it against Jesus Christ and found me perfect. I hope you get that.
Say it again.
God measured me against Jesus Christ and found me perfect. I'm measured against Jesus. I'm not measured against everything God knows. I was made perfect by faith in Christ Jesus. His performance is my measurement. When people try to live a Christian life and keep measuring themselves against Jesus and against God, all it will lead you to is, man, hasn't He hit me with a lightning bolt yet? I'm definitely living on borrowed time. It's lucky I'm alive. It puts you, and that's the same way. What if the teacher, your child would go to school, and that child's learning general math, but the teacher keeps measuring them against algebra? Well, what was the child going to do? He don't know algebra. This is what the church has done. The church has taught people to try to measure themselves, telling us to be like Jesus. Jesus told me how to be like Him. Walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith. That's being like Jesus. And see, being measured. See, you can't measure yourself against natural, against physical perfection. Jesus Christ was physical perfection. You try to measure it. Now you have Jesus. Now is in a glorified body. The last I checked, mine wasn't. How can I measure myself against Him other than by faith? There's no other way to measure myself. And that's why when you make salvation something other than faith in Christ alone, now you're throwing measuring sticks in there. That eventually your own measuring sticks are going to be your downfall. Because you're going to be able to keep up with it. You're going to have to start your own religion, and then nobody else gets to add anything to it, only you. So you can make yourself perfect, and everybody on the outside is not perfect because they can only have to meet your standards of what you set. And that's what religion does. People get together and they make these things, and they put their little measuring sticks out, and they start, this is what we got now. You follow in with inside of this, and you're okay. You're going to be all right. And that's not the way it is. It's not the way it is. But all it does is lead people to failure. But Paul got a revelation. Now his revelation, and understand this, revelation always comes from God. It comes from God. Revelation comes from God. Paul got a revelation. He received, and it came through revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, and you'll find this. Religion is not built upon revelation. God revealed himself to Moses on the mountain and gave the law. Then the Jews took the law and added 20,000 laws to it to explain the law. See, they took the revelation and they didn't follow the revelation. They took the revelation and they started their own revelation, their own ideas. This is what you have to do to keep this. So we need to take the law of Moses and add 20,000 more laws to them to explain how to do this. And that's the way religion operates. Religion will take a truth, and many times people come in, they've had the truth. But then they come with their ideas, not revelation from God, not by the word. They come with their ideas of how you have to walk and live in it. And that's where the religion, that's where it all starts from. And what you want to find is the rules of man always become the most important. Always become the most important. Man's ideas always become the most important. And you can, this is one thing you can find out about religion. Religion will try to scare you to death of trying to look at something. You know, they'll tell you, oh, you know, these people don't even look over there. Don't even hear a thing that they're saying. Is the idea, see, you can't, they're always afraid. And they should be. They're afraid if you listen over there, you might go. They always have the idea that this, you don't have God in you. They have God in them. And they are your measuring stick. And they will tell you, because don't you do this and don't you do that, because of their rules that they set up. And that's what religion does. I was in a church like that for a while. God sent me to this church. And I was in the church for a while. And the pastor really, that's what he started doing. He started setting his measuring. I just watched him and I watched him do his thing. And, him and I were great friends and stuff. But boy, when I left... Once I left, you know, you ain't ever allowed to. Anybody had ever left his church, he hated them. If somebody leaves our church, I don't hate them at all. I don't go to. They always, well, if they leave our church and that stuff, boy, that devil's going to get them because they're just, you know. And it's, when I left the church, man, became hatred toward it, man, just hate. Because you can't leave their measuring stick because they're, what happens, religious people's self-worth is based on what you do. Not on them. They'll never follow the measuring stick. They never do. But it's everybody else's job to follow them. Religious people are always trying to get other people to do what they cannot. Really, their thing is that if I get you to do it, then I'm okay. I get you to do it. That's these people coming around. And here they're dealing with people coming around with circumcision. And Paul deals with that exact same thing. Their glory is in the fact is getting you to do it. It's not about them. It's about getting you to do what they want. I've learned this along. It's my walk in Christ that matters about me. I don't, you know, thank God, you know, if you preach to people and they take a hold of it and it does good, that's great. But my walk with God's best based on my walk with God. It's not yours. Now, to me, I like that. I like that. Now, a lot of Christians today want somebody else to have the walk for them. And they're always trying to get somebody else. And if anybody else makes a mistake, it gives them the excuse not to walk right. Yeah, well, I know so-and-so, and he don't walk right. What do I care? I don't care. None of you guys walk right? I could care less, man. I'm going to walk right. That's what's measured against me, not against you. Is number one, I'd be a stupid. To me, that's always the stupidest things, but stupid people get into religion. That's what stupid does, I guess. Stupid acts stupid. But he had a revelation. Religion is based upon the minds of men. It's how men try to figure out about God or what God's doing or what God's doing, and they add their things. They add their stuff. So there's enough to do without adding more. Okay. You know, there's enough things dealing with in life, and we deal with our flesh without having to add religion to it and just making things worse. And we do. And just making things harder. It's one of the things is God, I really worked at staying out of religion. And I think it's one of the reasons why I've always liked Christianity when I came into it. I hated Christianity as a child. I hated it. But then I found out it wasn't Christianity that I was in. It wasn't. It was called that, but it wasn't. Most of it was not Christianity. Very little of it was biblical. But, you know, it was getting over when you found out and I thought, you know, this is a great life. It's a good life to live. It's a life I can live by faith. Because see, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not trying to be. I'm not trying to. I got over the things. I don't even try. If the Bible says something, it's true. I don't even care if I can't figure it out at all about it. It says that it's true. That's it. And we'll let it all work out. God will give me revelation on it. The thing is, I do is I walk in the knowledge I have. And keep yourself open for God to reveal things to us. The gospel comes. The gospel actually comes directly through personal revelation. This was Paul was doing. The gospel is direct revelation from God. And really, the gospel of Jesus Christ is put so simplistic in the Bible, it's a revelation that is given to the church. Now, see, just reading the Bible does not give you revelation. Just reading the Bible. This is one of the things people tell you to read the Bible. It's good to read it. But and I do. I read the Bible. I mean, I sit today. Now, when I come to teaching, I don't really sit down and look over the scriptures about exactly what I'm going to teach. In fact, today, I barely even looked at my notes. What I did is I sat down this morning and just read over the first couple chapters of Galatians. I just read it and read it over, and I read it over, and then I let God give God the opportunity to talk to me, to show me stuff. And I mean, I've just learned to do that. It's number one because I read it over and read it over. There's things that I know in my notes and God revealed to me, but I got to watch myself that isn't what I'm just going to stick on. What if he wants to say something else? This is where religion comes in. People get stuck on the past of things that they know, and God cannot reveal things to them. In fact, the last 2 weeks, God's been dealing with me a lot on that as a problem. In the church world is a great problem because people have had revelations from God. But there's much that God can't speak to them about. He can't talk to them about because they have a one-track way of thinking. And the Lord said to me, He said, many of my people, I can't teach them anymore and I won't be able to because they are one-way thinkers and that's it. And He said, I try to bring things to them, but they will not. They have set themselves on a thing, a one way of thinking about things, and they never really. And when you do that, you got to watch because your mind is the gateway to your heart. And if you get you can get yourself so set you can't hear. And you know, when the Lord talked to me about it, I thought about this, and I said to the Lord, I told the Lord, I said, you know, it's just really interesting because I said. And the end of 2014, God began to speak to me about finances. And it's been to speak to me and gave me some revelation. I'd never heard other people teach on before. I never heard people talk about it. It was really a thing to set and really help me and set me free in some things and being able to trust God in concerning finances. And the Lord said before I had done very well in things, but He wanted me to go further. But I realized this, that after with 2014 and then into 2015, and it was sort of supernatural because, I mean, these are things that God would speak to me really clear about. I mean, I would ask Him questions and the answers would just come. I mean, it was just real clear on this thing. And I thought that was really interesting, but there's one thing, when all this came, I realized this. He had been trying to get me for a long time before, for years before, trying to show me this. But see, I kept thinking along the same lines of my thought about finances. I kept thinking in the same direction. And when those would come, I just ignored it. It wasn't that He wasn't trying to give me a revelation. I would not listen because I just got tied in what I knew. And there was nothing, there was things that I knew I was doing. But what I knew was in part. We have to be careful in this because what you know in part, understand, is part. And if you tie yourself so to it, you won't listen. You can't get further revelation. I believe from the standpoint, Paul, isn't it interesting? Paul turns around and gets a revelation about salvation and things and stuff, and Peter even admits that it was hard to understand, he said himself. I think there was things that Peter, and we're going to find the run-in that Paul had with Peter. He'll talk about this in Galatians. Because Peter got to be pretty much a one-way thinker. And there's things God couldn't reveal to him. And see, you don't want to be that. You don't want to get to that point. That doesn't mean I don't leave my mind open for everything. If it can't shut in word, anything that the Lord spoke to me about finances, I can take you to the scriptures to it. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's there. And the things that He dealt with me, and another thing, I mean, it's like Brother Hagin said, the proof's in the pudding. I started to act on it, and it sure has worked. So if anybody tells me it don't work, just go jump. I'm sorry. It works. So So you have the proof of it, that it does work. So, I mean, I know it from a scriptural standpoint, but also I know it by proving it out. But you want revelation, and Paul got a revelation. And this is one of the things about it, I would get a revelation, and I learned this as a young Christian, and this is what will help keep you on track, and is why these people got off track, is because they turned around, they got a revelation, instead of taking that revelation and walking in that revelation. They let somebody come in and talk to them and start to bring something that started make them skeptical of the revelation they were given. They weren't turning around and adding something adding something to make it bondage. To come along and tell them, your salvation isn't enough. Your faith in Jesus Christ is good enough. Hold it. See, when somebody comes along and tries to do that, you need to know that's when the stop sign goes up. When you have a revelation that makes you free and you can walk in a freedom with Christ, and somebody comes right and says, you know, that one, no. You got to have this. You can't have it that way. You got to have this and this to, you know, may put you a little more bondage over here. That faith isn't good enough to do it, to walk in this thing. You need to get over here. God is looking specifically at your performance in this thing, and that's what's going to really count. You got to be very careful, and that's how people get into bondage. If they would have walked in the revelation that was given them, these guys would have came along and they'd have said no. They would have pulled out Paul's teachings and letters that Paul had given before and said, this is what salvation is. Salvation is by faith alone. But they didn't. They let these people come along and try to talk them into something. And see, this is one thing, says, getting something to be a revelation to you. When things became a revelation to me, I learned to just walk in those, and I amplified those things. When somebody would voice something, I would voice the revelation. I didn't care what somebody else said. I voiced what the revelation of the Scripture said. I was annoying to the first church that God sent me to and told me to go to. A lot of the older Christians were annoyed with me because they were always preaching their gospel. And I would say, the Bible says. Oh, they get so irritated. Not to say, I wasn't like excited to find out the truth. No. I will fight to stay in my religion. I will kill people. I would send you off to hell so I could have my revelation, which isn't true. I like it. You'd think people would be happy. They weren't happy. Man, I tell you what, I was a young Christian. It's a hard thing to do. I was a young Christian. And God put me in as a teacher of an adult Sunday school class. You know, I'm about a year in as a Christian. And I'm teaching the adult Sunday school class. And this is what I consider to me. I didn't think I knew anything. But you know what? I knew 100 times more than they did. These people were Christians for years on end, some of them 40 years. And I want to tell you what? They weren't even close to babyhood. They had been so filled with religion. And when you told them, now they had gotten filled with the Holy Ghost. These people were filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you what, they had no word in them. They didn't know. They had all these traditions and all these ideas and stuff. And when you talked about faith, they had no clue of what you were talking about. No clue about what faith was. They had no clue how to trust God. They knew no clue. They had all their ideas. And I was going through a tough time with it. Because I would teach, and I would know, you know, that after teaching, they would talk about me. I'd sit down, and take them through scriptures, and when the scripture says this, I taught them. I didn't do like what I do now with you guys. I would do line upon line. I would just take it right through. I would take a principle and I'd take it right through the scriptures. What scripture says about it, and they'd fight it. Remember what the Bible says. I'm going to fight it. And one of the greatest blessings that happened to me in that church. They had a guy come from Texas. He was a prophet. And this guy was a prophet. I mean, he would... It's amazing. This guy, you know, in operating in gifts of the Spirit, he'd operate under a word of knowledge. He was amazing. I was in meetings with this guy, and he would stand up in front. And when that gift would start kicking in, he would call people out, not knowing them at all. And like the church that I was in there... I saw him call out, like one night, about 30 people. He called out. I mean, he just read their mail. I mean, he just read their mail. This guy don't know none of these people. So you know, you're listening to this thing, and I mean, this guy is just saying stuff, and I'm thinking the whole time, I know these people, and he's right on the money, man. He is just saying stuff right on the money. And so he was prophesying. Finally, you know, he was there, and he went over some other stuff, and he came back, and he looked at me, and he said, come here. So I just walked up, and he said, I see you. He said, you stand in front of people. I'm thinking, because all these people from this class, they're there. He said, you stand in front of people. And he said, I see you. He said, you're a guy like with a loaf of bread. And he said, you tear pieces off and you just give it to people. And he said, they throw it back at you. They say, oh, it's too dry. It's too hard. It's too this. It's too that. He said, don't you worry about them. He said, you just take it and give it to the people that want it. I'll tell you, bless me, and I was glad somebody else told them. And you know what? When he told me that, I thought, that's just a back way. I just felt, I mean, the whole time I teach those people, it was mostly like somebody was throwing something back at me all the time when you teach. They weren't receiving. They had their religious ideas, and they're going to, you know, I've been a Christian for 40 years. I know more than you. Dear Lord, I don't care how long. If somebody can show me something from the scripture, I'm going with it. But they get over it. And see, this is why you don't want it. You don't want to go there. See, people get over the point, think they've arrived. Well, I learned over time, you know, none of us has arrived. We're all still working at this thing, still going along. So you want a revelation from God. And that's, you know, and you should know in your heart when something's being revealed to you. And I want you to understand this. And I've learned this just in our church alone. I've seen it around at other places too. But I have people, and over the years, I have a great memory about things that people say to me over the years. I remember things like that. You know, you ask me your birthdays, I put them on a calendar. But I remember. I've had people over the years, and like say a revelation will come to them while I'm preaching, and they'll say to me after church, oh man, that certain thing. They'll say like, you know, and I know this, they get the revelation, they'll say, you said such and such, and I never saw that. They'll say, you never, oh man, that was really real. I'm thinking about, I've said that 30 or 40 times in the last few years preaching. They never heard it. That's the first time they heard it. That's the first time they heard it. Now I've had people come along and tell me they had a revelation. And then some years later, I'm talking along the same lines and saying, they'll come walking up to me just like that's the first time they heard it. See, when they get a revelation, they just lay it aside. They don't write it down. They don't meditate on it. They don't. I get revelations. They mean something to me. God takes the time to show me something. Most people never take the time with something showed to them. They let it go by. They just let it go by. I've had people come up 4 or 5 times over the years. And I realize this, every time they hear it, it's not going to do them any good. Because they're going to do the same thing this time they did with it before. Nothing. God reveals something to you. God reveals things with purpose. It's like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, now he got caught up to heaven when he had his revelation, if you go on to study about Paul. And he had a revelation, and that revelation was important. Revelation, it's like with me, revelation's not just for me. God reveals things to me for others, and God reveals things. And when you become just a dam and you're not a river, your Christian life ends. You're going to stalemate right where you're at. You're not going any further. There's no need. We're not a dam for information. We're not just trying to pass a test so we can get out of school and go sit down somewhere and say, yeah, I've arrived now. I'm just telling you this. You'll never arrive. You're never going to arrive. I'm sorry. You ain't going to get the degree. I never got one, and I ain't getting the degree. Every time I learn something, all I realize is how much I don't know. Every time you learn, you realize, you know. Did you ever think about, you know, like, I often thought about, like, say, Einstein and stuff. I'd read things about him and that stuff. Every time he would come up with a theory on something and really get a bright idea about something, all it did to led him to, well, what about this? I can tell people who don't learn because when they get a revelation, they aren't all of a sudden, wow, but what about this? See, to them, I just heard something that's nice. That's not what it's about. Revelation is God speaking to you about something you need to hear. And if you just go lay it down, I will guarantee you this, it'll cost you. It'll cost you. It'll cost you. You know, you just take like kids in school who don't bother learning. It costs them in life. It costs them. People who aren't diligent to be students, one thing is I've learned to be studious in life, to learn. You got to be like, because people who don't, they're always the people trying to get somebody else to do something for them. They're always the people. They're never moving ahead. And when God gives you revelation, it's about things to help you in your life, a thing that you can bless and help others with. Your revelation. What if Paul would just set his revelation aside? What if he'd done that? Most of the New Testament. Now, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, are not New Testament. They're Old Testament. They're before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All that went on there is actually Old Testament. They put it in the New Testament, but it's actually not. But if we take the letters of the church, over two-thirds of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. Over two-thirds of it was written by the Apostle Paul. The revelation he got, that man built on revelation, and he took that. And I want to make the revelation he had, I want that to be my revelation. If God could use him in that manner because he got revelation, it's the same with us. I don't want to be religious and he can't bring things to me and he can't teach me. Because understand, just the Bible says this, you can't go any further than your teacher. I've watched over the years too many ministers come to a place where they think they graduated. And when they do that, the whole congregation stops. The whole congregation stops because they can't go any further than him. He thinks he's arrived, and so he isn't going to bring any revelation. Revelation don't come no more from him. There's no point in God bringing it. He thinks he's already there. He knows all he needs to know. Doesn't realize. Well, I've realized this. If all I know is all you need to know. God ain't very bright. It's no use going to heaven with him. It ain't going to work out well. Come on, people. You know, you don't want to get over because there's almost an arrogance that goes with that. The fact of, and nobody arrives. Let God reveal things to you. Because if you don't, if revelation stops, you will build a religion. You will. If God, I have never met anybody who doesn't really go after personally with God themselves. If they don't do it, they form their own little religion right where they're at and what they believe about things and that kind of stuff. Because God is a revealer and he's always revealing things to people. He's always showing stuff. Understand this. God is trying to reveal more stuff to us than we're getting a hold of. Now don't go home and beat yourself over it. You don't have to go home. Just don't beat yourself here. Because I think that's it. You know, people talk, they're amazed, you know, people talk about God speaking to them. I tell you what, I'm concerned that people God don't talk to. That's what bothers me. From the time I got born again, God's been talking to me. And to me, it's the weirdest thing in the world. If God got silent, that would bother me. God reveals things to me. Things come to me about the scriptures. Things, I mean, all the time. I mean, I was just out the other day. I thought I'd get back in shape, do a little bit of running again. I went out and do running. I'm out there running, and God starts giving me a sermon. It's just like, hey, you out there, you don't even mind your own business. He'll talk. But he'll talk to you any time that you'll let him talk to you. If you allow him to, he'll talk to you. If you'll let him do it. And God's talking many times. And I know with myself, I get a sense many times with the Lord that when I do get a revelation from him that he's been trying to bring it across to me have been trying to do it for a long period of time. It's like I said about the financial things, I believe that was for years. I really do. And so you don't want to, so you know, he didn't stone me, he was very nice to me about it, and he ain't going to stone you. You know. But you get over in the areas of letting yourself, let God reveal things. So when God reveals something to you, then treat it as a revelation from God. It doesn't have to be anything that sounds so significant. I just think the fact that God, it just amazes me that God talk, you know, wants to talk with me. You know, he's God and I'm Ed. And he wants to talk with Ed. I do believe that God wants people to talk to. He wants that fellowship and he wants that closeness. Many times, if I think about over the years of listening to Kenneth Hagin's teachings, sometimes many years have passed on certain things of teaching, and he'll go back and remind me certain things with Kenneth Hagin, and he'll give me a revelation on that something that was said years ago. And I think, wow, reminds you back then, and he'll give me a revelation about it. And I think, you know, all the times you've heard it and listened to it, that you didn't see that. And one day he'll talk to you about it and bring you a revelation from it. And it's just, to me, those things just amaze me about him. Is that the Word of God really is alive. And it's a powerful thing. And we respond to God by faith. And when people try to pervert it into something else, it absolutely robs. And I mean, it's a robber. It's a thief. It's absolutely a thief that just steals from people. And you'll find this. Religion always brings things in that are faith-destroying. It's always being things that are faith. Just like with Paul's letter here, the circumcision was a faith killer. Your faith isn't good enough. Your faith is not enough. Your performance is going to have to be, if you really want to be saved, your performance is going to have to be above your faith. Always like that. Religion's always like that. Performance will always have to be higher than faith. So you know what? Nobody ever walks with faith in a group. You get in religious people, they don't walk with faith. They don't know nothing about it. Because everything then becomes based upon performance. And faith just becomes an abstract thing talked about. Trusting God. How do you do it? Well, you don't got no clue. But don't cuss, don't swear, wear the right clothes, do this, do that, do the other thing. You're a good person. And if you went today, I know like people would sit around and many groups would knock, you know, the people say, oh, about, you know, the Presbyterians and this group and the Lutherans and Methodists and say those things. I'll tell you what, there's plenty of people over in the Spirit-filled side today who are as bad off as they are. They think that they're saved because they know certain things. They know God heals. They think that I'm not saved because I know God heals. That's a revelation I got because I'm saved. I didn't get that revelation. It didn't make me saved. It don't make me better than anybody else. I mean, a man can know that God heals and end up in hell. I mean, it's a revelation that God gave us through faith in Christ to be saved. And get the fact of it is, if anything that's lacking in the church world today is the knowledge of their own people's own salvation. The devil will always get you to question your salvation. He can't take me there. I'm so darn saved, it's incredible. The devil has never made... He's tried to drag me over there, and I laugh at him. He'd say, but look what you did, this and that. And I'd say, yes, sir, I did do that, didn't I? But I ain't saved because of that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'd say, don't make you mad. I'm going to be in heaven, and you're going to be in the lake of fire. What do you think of that, buddy? But see, that there's one of the things that I just don't... Kenneth Hagin made the statement. He said, I have never been able to sympathize with people that don't know if they're saved or not. He said, because I've never had that problem. He said, I knew when I got saved, I was saved. When I got saved, Ed was saved. I did what the Bible said. We have to question and think of this thing out all the time. It's because we're not paying attention to revelation. We get over our minds about it instead of the revelation of what's in you. You're a child of God. Settle that fact. Most people and Christians that have a hard time and don't live salvation out is because they have never convinced themselves concerning salvation. So they always live like they don't know. They live like they don't. Get it settled within yourself that you're saved. If you believe that Jesus is Lord and you believe God raised him from the dead, you confessed him as Lord. He said, with the heart man believeth. If you believe that in your heart and you've said it with your mouth, Paul said you're saved. I don't have any other place that tells me any different. So if it don't work, which I know it do, because it manifested in my life, so it worked. And it's that simple. And settle the fact that you're saved. If you want to live a life like you're saved, you must be settled on that fact that there's not something else. Because people start worrying about, gee, will I go to heaven? Boy, when I die. I've often thought, what a shame if a Christian would go through the things. And they do. When they come down toward death, they got all these questions. I just keep thinking, my God, I get to leave. He left yet? But people do. And I've done funerals and I watch people and here they are born again and everything. And you'd think their family members die and go to hell. Because they don't have no assurity. They don't have it within themselves. They don't understand people who have the assurity. They don't get it. If you don't have the assurity, you don't look at anybody else as having the assurity because you don't know where they're coming from. And just taking the simplicity, you know. To me, that was the biggest thing of the freedom. That was one of the things of not worrying about dying and being sick and God, you know, the devil got on you and trust God. I never worried about if I was going to die because I'm a child of God and born again. Worst thing that happened to me is I end up in heaven. That's the worst. It's like, boy, isn't that awful? You know, Ed went to heaven. Boy, I tell you what, look what he's missing out here. But you know what? That you lose the fear of death. The fear of death is the main problem with most Christians. It's because they're not sure of their salvation, so they're still afraid of dying. My salvation's real to me. If Ed's breath stops, Ed steps out of this body, goes to be with Jesus. That's exactly what happens. I go to be with Jesus. I know it. I know that I know that I know. No matter what somebody do to me and say, yeah, you got to say it ain't true. I'm sorry. I can't lie about it. It's true. That's what happens. And you want to come to that. Because when you lose that fear, the fear of other things in this earth, you're not going to have enough or things might not work out. The fear of death holds a lot of things on people where they can't go far enough. And religion will make you scared all the time. Religious people are always afraid of death. Because they're trying to measure what's going to happen against their works. You don't want that, do you? Praise God. Well, we don't have to. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you. You've just simply given us faith in Christ Jesus. Father, what a security that we have. It wasn't made by anything that we did. It was made fully by what Jesus Christ did through his death, burial, and resurrection.